This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm your host, Aaron Lingley. As always, I'm with your Alliance Council President, your Gorilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. How are you, my friend? Are you okay?
Good. I'm doing all right. I'm avoiding Twitter at the moment because I am sure U.S. Men's National Team Twitter is absolutely just crapping themselves and are just up in arms about the fact that Jordan Morris, despite being the best player in the MLS significantly by far this season, is playing for the U.S. national team and starting right now.
Starting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as the second half is just about to kick off. We've got the whole team. And
yeah, a little sky game.
You know, there's more MLS players than usual in this window, I think, because it's in the U.S. We're not playing in Europe or anywhere like that. But also, we still have Sergiño Dest and a few other players that are international on the team. So, but I think everyone else...
This is just a friendly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think everyone else might be local. I haven't looked at the total roster. But, yeah, between this game and... the NSL National Soccer League is starting up, which is bringing back teams like the Boston Minutemen and the Los Angeles Aztecs. They tweeted out today, keep your politics out of our soccer. And
yeah, that's all
apparently don't think signing players from that have to get visas to come play in the United States is political when it changes depending on who the president is all the time. But, you know... cool.
That's another reason to stay off Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, to deal with that.
The thing is, they are pro rel, so it was like a mix of the worst keep politics out of sports / pro rel coming together as one. I also watched the Mariners lose for the second day in a row today for us, for baseball fans, where they had the bases loaded.
Whoa, you're lucky I watched the game while I was at work, but you know better than to do that.
Oh, that's true. I forgot that because it was a day game, it's not a new day for some reason in my brain.
Yeah, no, I understand. No, oh, but yeah, I did watch it at work, so.
Yep, bases loaded, no outs, can't score. Same thing happened yesterday. Lost with the chance to win it in the final at bat and couldn't do it. So, yeah, it is what it is. We
I can just double down on that negative news.
Yeah, we just kicked off second half here in USA versus Mexico, so we'll keep people updated for reactions, even though they're not listening live. What other negative news?
Keep them updated.
Non-Sounders related negative news?
Well, no, that was going to be that one because I figured you were going on just a tirade of bad stuff, and then ended with Mariners, and then I was like, no, I mean, really why we do this is to talk about the Sounders.
True.
And that was what? Are you drinking there?
I am drinking Olipop Strawberry Vanilla, a new kind of soda. Yes, this soda has prebiotics and plant fiber in it. Folks, get your fiber. It will help you lose weight. It'll make you feel healthy. Also, if you drink two of these, you will be so flatulent that you're going to get kicked out of the house by your significant other. So don't drink two.
So listen closely, everyone.
only drink one.
Did you say prebiotic?
Yeah, prebiotics. It's
That's
like
the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, it's super popular now to have prebiotics and postbiotics, but it's just a fancy name for stuff like fiber from different sources, chicory root, cassava root, Jerusalem artichoke, inulin.
Jordan just whiffed one. Sorry.
Yeah. You almost scored earlier. I heard. I missed. I was walking from one room to the other and I missed it. But Harry has a shot on goal, and yeah, I mean, there wasn't much he could do with that, anyways. He should have crossed it.
Well, we're delaying the inevitable here.
We are.
I think we should just scuttlebutt what the hell happened in the last game.
That's everything we're going to talk about for the next 30 minutes. So should we?
Yeah, I just want to get it over with.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I think we can do the music playing for next week's game against Minnesota. We'll just break it up. Let's break it up that way, right? We're going to get enough tangents, I think, with what happened this last week, the injury report and how that affected last week and then this week. That's enough scuttle.
Yeah. No F1 to talk about, so our people are happy.
Yeah, well, it's back this week.
No, another week.
Oh, really? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, 28.
Well, okay, the Kraken. We got the Kraken.
Kraken playoffs won their first ever playoff game, baby.
Yeah.
And 3-1 in good fashion over Dan Boniface's Colorado Rapids.
Avalanche.
So, oh, yeah. Avalanche. I got confused because of the sport. Yeah. Did you see that Russell Wilson and Sierra were at the game?
Oh, they were there?
Yeah.
and he's still lost. We beat him again. That's hilarious.
Sounders scuttlebutt. Yeah.
Anyway, well, go Seattle. But yeah. So you weren't at the game, correct? Because we would have been hanging out beforehand. I was there.
I was enjoying it on Apple TV, which is a little scuttlebutt there. Hilariously, we talked about my frustrations that they've just kind of left Android in the cold, and that we have to log on to browsers and whatnot. Apple TV was down for most Apple users for the first half.
I was going to say it would have been great if that happened during the second half.
No, for the first half, people were mad, and I was just sitting on my Xbox watching the game, having a good time. And if that affected you, I'm sorry. I feel bad. But there's just some karmic level of awesomeness that Apple's own products couldn't use it when they completely screwed the rest of us, and we were able to. It was awesome.
That is pretty funny.
Plus, I got to see the Sounders score a goal.
Actually play well. Yeah. what's with you, since you had the best perspective? I was both incredibly drunk and having fun, but also at the game. And when you're traveling with supporters, sometimes your visibility is not the best. It's just
that corner.
Exactly.
Yeah, where they stick you at Scusa Stadium.
Yeah.
Scusi, whatever it says.
Scusa.
Yeah, it says scusa. Like, they're, isn't that how you say sorry in Italian? They're like asking
just like,
for
pardon me. Yeah.
Pardon me. Pardon me.
Mind your way. We were in their way. We come to find out later in the second half. But so your first, and we'll just talk about the first 70 minutes and then the last 30 or last 20.
Is that, first 70 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, so sure. What was your perspective since you had the best view of
the first
game?
10 to 15 minutes were mostly Portland. It was like we were letting them feel us out, but they were not dangerous really. After that, it was pretty dominant Sounders. Like,
yeah, looked like that to me too.
We scored a goal. I was worried it wasn't going to be enough, but I also was like, oh God, this is going to be one of those games where Schmetzer hunkers down instead of going for the second goal. But no, he went for the second goal. I think he subbed out the wrong person. Paul Cox on Twitter, Siempre Seattle, or might be the other way around, commented that, and just so our listeners know, there's a little echo, so you might want to turn down your headphones a little bit. I think your mic's picking it up. But I think that it was super interesting that when Leo Chu came out, suddenly we fell apart. You also had what Paul had said was, Paul Cox had said was, you watched Raul and Jordan struggle with being in the same place at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so suddenly you added a third striker when they were already struggling with two up because they're trying to take up the same amount of space in the same places. And you take out Chu. I wouldn't say had his best game because he was having great runs, but he just didn't have that final touch mm-hmm. on his crosses. But I think he was pulling people back, and everything
his
changed.
His presence once they was took affecting out. The
yeah,
the
everything
defense
changed.
Defense in the midfield, yeah.
And then what resulted was 19 minutes of the most embarrassing soccer in Sounders history. Like, someone said, well, what about the 5-0 Manchester United game? I think Joe Hamill said, what about the 5-0 Manchester United game where we actually got our money back? To me, this is way worse. First off, it was,
well,
19.
That was
only.
Yeah, that was a friendly against one of the best clubs in the world at that point. But
right, but we lost 5-0. Also, that ended Terry Boss's career because he dove for it to save it and hit his head on the crossbar and got a concussion that he never came back from. But
oh, snap.
For me, that. Obviously, there's no money because it was a away trip. I do think that everyone who paid for away tickets should get their money back. It was the most embarrassing 19 minutes in team history because it was against your most hated rival and you absolutely fell apart. We were, like I said, we were outcoached, outclassed, and outplayed. Some of that is interesting to me to hear Schmetzer talking
about
this week.
We were not the survivor. Sorry.
No.
That was the, you know what you just did, right?
No, I don't want to survive.
Outplay, outwit, outlast. That's their that's their little, okay. I laughed.
Shout out to all your survivor peoples. For me, finding out that they didn't treat this as anything else than another game. They didn't spend the week hyping up the team about the importance of it. I mean, the players should know.
Which is what we talked about. It's like, of course, this isn't a trap game because they're all aware. They're all ready for this match. This is the only thing they should be worried about.
And they didn't do that. They treated it like any other game. Not that they were necessarily looking past it, but they didn't give it the extra importance. And I just don't understand that. It played into all my concerns about Brian Schmetzer as a coach in big games, making wrong decisions. One goal, that goal was amazing. But that goal should have never happened. We gave it away in the midfield. If we don't give it away in the midfield, that cross isn't even a factor. As Jordan Morris runs up the field and passes it to Kellen Acosta, who sends it over to Yedlin and back to Acosta. I thought we were going to get a little Jordan Morris action, hence my step in there with some commentary. But
yeah, well, Mexico just scored. I don't know
where you're at. You are like 4 seconds ahead of me. That is some of the worst
play
I have seen.
I was going to say, you're kind of alluding to what's happening in real life for us right now.
Wow, that was
giving up the ball.
Awful. This is straight up.
This is weird.
Reliving Sounders at Portland, the final 19 minutes.
Oh my
that
God.
Was. How do you not get back? How does the defender? Is it Sean Johnson playing? What is he doing? We have so many. Like,
I mean,
Stefan Fry seems to have lost a step. I'll say that. But why isn't Stefan Fry in the USA camp? He's better than pretty much any other MLS goalie. It's like Nick Raimondo was never in a USA camp.
Age.
What the hell is that?
That's because he was filthy for his entire career.
Right, even though he was a tiny guy. But Sean Johnson, that is embarrassing. Come on, man.
It's not, I mean, great. I get what you're saying, but this is one-on-one for 50 yards.
there was a guy pacing him, but he either needs to commit to attacking the ball or to stay back at the goal. He kind of sat in the middle.
Yeah, okay. Well, I gave him like 10% of the fall here. 90% of it is that midfield.
I have a lot more to say about this, but
yeah.
I want you to spend the next couple minutes talking about your experience inside the stadium and what it felt like starting off that and then those next 19 minutes. What was that like in the stadium?
Well, I'll preface this with, I was with my buddies. We got there on Friday. And so basically didn't stop drinking until after the game. Yeah, I don't know, dude. We were just so amped up and we were having fun. The atmosphere is always fun, especially when you're with GA and you're pre-gaming the night before. Shout out to Merrill with Anchor and Rose 48s. Brought us to their secret spot. So met some cool people there on Friday night. Went out and enjoyed ourselves throughout the day. There's a really cool place called Ground Control, if you like video games, kind of like miniature GameWorks. But anyway, so spent the whole day drinking, saw Brad Evans. He was getting some food. Talked to us for half a block. Wonderful guy. And then we go to the game, and just before the game, we're playing ping pong, drinking with all the fans. So we're all just like built up for, you know, 24 hours at that point. And then to get in the game for 70 minutes and just watching us, for the most part, dominate. And granted, it wasn't the same lineup as last week. We weren't playing as nearly as well as last week or the week before, but we were still owning this game. I literally asked, well, what the hell did he just do when that sub happened? Like, Leo Chu should have gotten a full 90, in my opinion.
So that's a really unique stadium, like the way it's set up and how you sit over in that corner. They had the two sections, right? The far left section, and then ECS was in the next section over.
It seemed like the usual. We just have the edge and that one set of stairs.
Oh, they only had the far corner. There was not the two sections.
Possibly, but I mean,
every game I've been there, there's been two sections except for one time, and it was the first time I felt like what it felt like to be in Europe. It was dangerous. There was more people in seats. People were having to stand on stuff. My ex got stepped on 4 or 5 times. We ended up having to leave early because she felt unsafe.
No, so, I mean, my memory could be a little fuzzy, but actually, for the most part, this was like the most, it's like we were all in our late 30s instead of half of us being in our 20s and completely lit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a little more, we're all here to have, I don't know, I've been to an away game probably once every other year since 2009 in Portland. Or I should say since 2010, I didn't go for the USM Cup.
What was it like the crowd? What was the energy in the Sounders fans?
We were all having a good time. It didn't seem out of anything different than ever before. So I think we were all enjoying it. Like I said, I feel like we all kind of were a little bit older this year for some reason. We were also like the first 10 rows. We got lucky. So there might've been more happening behind me I wasn't aware of.
Hello, watch.
I don't know what else. You know, it was fun. We were all having fun.
Yeah, and so they scored their first goal.
It seemed like there was impending doom.
They scored their first goal. You know, whatever. It's one goal. We had put on
Raul?
No.
Who's that?
Portland.
Okay, so I'm saying, you know, Raul scored. We're all, like, enjoying ourselves. But sure. Then, yeah, that the substitution, that I think is the crux. I don't really give a shit about their goals. Because they all happened because of the substitution.
Right, but they mattered to me because the first goal, I mean, granted, it was a bad giveaway, but most people aren't making that goal. I just don't understand how you go from that to 3 more goals. Like, how was there not, I don't know, what was going on? I mean, it was the first game we've seen Reagan have a little difficulty this year. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was awful. In fact, on that first goal, I don't even think it was his fault. I think it was Yamar who should have been covering that guy. Reagan stepped over. Could be wrong on who was supposed to cover it. It could have been Yamar trying to make up for Reagan not being there. But to me, it looked like Yamar really should have been on that. And, you know, rough outing from then on for Alex Roldan. But you changed his pairing at that point, right? You moved Jordan over to the right to be paired with him, but Jordan was still playing as a forward at that point.
Yeah, I also think having, if I recall correctly, did Nuhu come out because he was hurt?
I think so.
Because it was for Rowe, right?
It also could have been for energy.
I've only like read up on summaries of the game. I can't watch it again.
No, I definitely did not watch it again.
I know he's not on the injury report for this.
Yeah, they didn't say why.
Okay, that has to be. He must have asked for something. But anyway, we'll get past it because probably everyone listening.
I think early in the game, he had gotten hit in the thigh, which is a thigh he injured before. So maybe there was something there, or maybe that was just something that I saw and there's no issue there. I'm not sure.
Well, at that point, that's the second substitution after two goals have already come down, right?
Right.
So what are your thoughts on just literally the A bear for Chu?
If we had Christian out there, I wouldn't dislike it as much.
Okay,
Because we did not have Christian, we just didn't have anything to stretch the defense. We didn't have any muscle out there anymore. Christian doesn't stretch the defense the same way, but he has an intensity. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly, you know, I'm a fan of two at the top, but we kind of had three at the top at that point. And then we're left exposed.
Like, would have. So Obed got his first start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That should be called out. And that was in the midfield. That's for Rusnak.
But he was solid.
Yeah.
I think that is, you brought up a really good point there right now, though. It did feel like something was missing even when we were winning. We weren't dominating the way we dominated before. We looked like there was no chance we were going to lose. But it wasn't because we were dominating. It was because we were holding onto the ball and had the lead.
It just wasn't it wasn't smooth. As smooth
we
as
were missing.
It wasn't.
It Rob felt Thomas. Like we were missing our guiding light out there. It felt like there was a disconnect between our defense and our midfield, and our midfield and our forwards, especially once Chu was gone. Chu, there was good connection there, but he was just not hitting his passes.
Well, and Hebert, Rui Diaz, and Jordan Morris have not been on the same field this year.
Well, only practice, I imagine.
And that's not Providence Park. that's not when he practiced that. So I liked Obed. I don't think it Obed affected too much. I mean, we did score and it was a great goal.
He had the
great little sequence.
The cross on it, right? You got the assist. It was awesome. He played well. I think he and JP are obviously a great pairing. Of course, I think he only started because
Obed did, and Nico. That's why I was confused, because they both got it. We got the hockey assist.
Yeah, because Nico had the through ball up to him. But they were JP and him were a good pairing because we had our boy was out with a was it a concussion? What was
Christian's is a concussion. I don't actually know what Rusnak's is.
No, not Rusnak. Our the guy that scored last week that I'm blanking on right now because my brain is fried from
Atencio abductor.
Atencio, yeah.
Yeah, he had an abductor.
Yeah. So I think we missed him a bit because he had kind of done a really good job in the midfield. Mm-hmm. Obed and JP work really well together, but I think they work even better with Rusnak there to help Obed go on runs, I'll drop back, stuff like that. They don't have the same communication, especially when everyone on the field is an attacking player at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we might as well just put seven number nines on there and a few other people, it felt like. So, yeah, I don't have a lot to say other than it was frustrating. I couldn't even watch the post-game press conferences, to be honest. I read some of the quotes. That's how I know things that Schmetzer said this week, even. I still can't. He talked about the loss yesterday. I can't. I was so excited when we scored, and I was so sad when we gave up one. And when we gave up two, I was even more sad. And then we give up three, I was like, this is the worst.
Like, dude, I mean, it's funny. I'm going to say I blacked out. I actually only had one beer at the game. But I stopped after the third one, which was like a good 6 or 7 minutes after the first barrage. Mm-hmm. And you could see that we were just dismantled. Like, this was just not even fun soccer to watch. Unbiased. This is just gross. After the third one, I think, well, one, I never leave early, and we didn't. But I left mentally early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just started talking to my friends and be like, this is trash. And like, what do you guys want to do after? Should we just go back to the room? What time are we leaving tomorrow? Are we hungry?
Well, you know, it was over at that point. There was nothing.
Yeah, well, definitely.
When it was 2-1, I thought it was over. I was like, there's a small chance we could tie this. But I just, if we don't get 3 points on the road here, this feels like a loss. A tie feels like a loss at this point based on what happened in this game.
Yeah, so might as well just pack up and reset. There's no coming back from this.
I mean, Steve Zakuani said, don't panic. This is still a good team. But I honestly question that. What was the reason? Was this tactics? Was it coaching? Was it players not being in the right position? What was it? That's what I want to know. What was it that led to this loss?
Yeah.
And I think it was a combination of all that. It was, they weren't hyped up for it. Like, how do you not hype up for the biggest rival? Even Christian Roldan talked about this week why it matters. Mm-hmm. And they still didn't use that to hype up the team.
Well, it might have been. I mean, well, first, I do agree with Steve. I still think we're a great team. However, I am constantly going to be concerned about falling off a cliff in the middle of a match.
Oh, yeah. Like this. We're going to end up being.
Whether it be from Schmetzer decision or otherwise, I'm going to, and I don't want to do that. I want to go in and like the 2 or 3-game stretches we've had now twice this season, where it's just feel like the 15, 20 minutes, get some body punches, figure them out. We're going to win 3-0. I liked being right a couple times this season with that expectation of this team. So that needs to be consistent. We're not going to make it to finals, let alone win them. If we make decisions like this, and this harkens back to your biggest criticism of Schmetzer, decisions like this, particularly in finals, but now we've saw it in like our own personal regional kind of playoff match. Every match against Portland is another level.
And, you know, players that haven't been around this, players who, or maybe just, there's some players that probably don't care about a rivalry because Portland was bad this year. The thing for me is, and maybe it's too early, I like the messaging that, and Schmetzer mentioned this, if we had won, Matt Miazga on for USA for Aaron Long, about time he's back in the team. He was one of those young defenders who looked like, I mean, didn't he go to Chelsea at one point?
You would know that.
And then he just kind of somehow fell out of favor when he came back to MLS. I think probably because prior to Berhalter, they were anti-MLS players on the team. Anyway, Schmetzer had said that, gosh, USA totally lose my train of thought. Typical scuttlebutt.
Well, I was saying that, like, you know, we're a juggernaut. That we want us to be like a juggernaut, and that we've had tastes of that so far, and to have another instance like this.
I will never feel confident that we're going to put away anyone at this point. Oh, and then what Schmetzer said was, this could have been a chance where we could have hit them while they're down, and then they have to go to Cincinnati next week, and if they had lost that, I mean, their season is close to over. It's obviously not.
Severace is probably let go.
Right. They probably lose their manager. But at this point, that's not happening. And, of course, Cincinnati, in a game that didn't start until 15 minutes after ours, so I think it was 10:45 local time, lost 5-0 because they had thunderstorms delay that game like over 3 hours. So it started 15 minutes after our game, when it was supposed to start, you know, obviously way earlier that because of the time difference. So
damn,
it was, 5-0 St. Louis, which makes our win against them look a lot better, except for then we lose to Portland. So it's like, ugh. So I will say this,
we'll probably get stomped next week.
Yeah.
Portland, they'll probably get stomped next week. So that makes it even a little worse. But
I will say this for Brian Schmetzer. Most of the games this year, not counting the ones where we score, keep scoring, scoring, scoring. Most of the games this year where we won 1-0 or by one goal, where we've been unable to push for that second goal to put it away, and it's led to nervy endings, like the one a couple weeks ago where, you know, they had, 29 shots on goal or something?
And, Galaxy.
And Fry was just having to sit there. So I think what he was thinking is we have to score the second goal to put it away. And if we score that second goal, that game wins with, I think it probably ends 2-1, us winning.
So what change would you have done? Because clearly that was the wrong answer, right? So what was the right answer? To put a goal away.
Yeah,
not park the bus, but it we do need to have that.
Maybe
we need,
could we should have been something in the midfield that wasn't true. I think Rusnak, but he was out, right? I mean, Hebert for Raul Ruiz Diaz. Raul was not.
Raul would have been pissed off, though.
And especially once he scored that amazing goal. But we weren't. We needed to do something. And that's the thing is who else do you take off?
We have Arriaga, but that's a defensive sub, right? So if we're trying to think,
Obed and put in
Danny.
No, someone who's more attacking. Maybe, I mean, you could put in Hebert there and then still have Chu. So you still have people to cross the ball in and drop Jordan and Chu further back and play two at the top. I mean, I think that's what I would have done.
If you're taking Obed out, you got to drop Nico into the midfield. Joel can't be the only midfielder.
No, I think he can. Absolutely. I think he can play the bottom of the diamond. No, I mean, yeah, that's how we played for years, is in a diamond. You had Nico at the top.
I understand what you're saying.
Deuce at the bottom, and then you had red right midfielder and left midfielder. I think you do the exact same thing.
I don't know. I don't want to touch the midfield. I don't think you actually had an option to go for another goal. I think that should have been.
That's a problem.
We got to take it home. Well, I think
if we can't finish games, we're not going to play well. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. We're missing two of our.
Yeah, best players. I just don't think this is the situation to figure out how to do it, because we wouldn't have that situation most of the time. We'll have Christian. We'll have Rusnak.
That's true.
We'll have.
And if they're tired, you could sub in the guys who were playing.
So let's not try shit out when three of our starters of last week aren't available.
Yeah,
we're already trying shit from the first minute. So we got the goal. Let's take it home. Let's not try to stomp on.
I don't know that you can ever be confident that a single goal is going to win at Portland in the rivalry.
Yeah, well, in this situation, doing anything other than playing defensively.
Because we were almost done.
If we lost 2-1 and played defensively, I would have been like, I wouldn't be this pissed off. This was a decision that gave up 4 goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not two.
I don't think
with a hard fought loss.
I don't think there's any
heartbreaking. But
my problem is there was no change made on the field, not player wise, but tactic wise. Once those 2 goals went in, we pushed further forward in a way that left us even more exposed to those runs.
We
just kept that
they pulling our pants down is what we were doing.
Yeah, we played right into what they wanted us to do. And that's where I see it as, you know, we got the tactics that they had were better. We regularly get out coached by Portland coaches, whether it's Caleb Porter or Savarese.
You're making me shiver.
And I don't know who that's on. Maybe it's not on Schmetzer. Maybe it's on Freddy Juarez. Maybe it's on.
Well, it all falls on Schmetzer, right?
But whoever's coming up with the tactics, because he talked about last home game where we weren't playing that as well as we would have liked in the first half. Freddie came down at halftime from up in the booth where he's watching the game and said, "Do these tactical changes," and they did, and that's why we started winning. So where was that? Why wasn't he giving him things to do on the field at that exact moment? I don't know. Maybe it was players. Maybe players weren't getting in the right position. I was so angry at that point. I just I didn't turn it off. I watched till the end, but I certainly did not watch any post-game show.
Yeah.
I was mad. I was maybe I should cancel my season tickets for next year mad. That's how mad I was. You saw my texts.
Yeah, I know. I won't.
But you know what I tweeted? All right, on to the next. Let's make this a wake-up call for the boys. Let's never feel this way again. Let's start winning again. And that's how they have to do it.
How actual presidents probably feel, right? So inside their cabinet, they're swearing and cursing, but then when they get on the mic, they're positive, and we will overcome. Well, let's overcome this by maybe moving on to the future.
Minnesota.
Right? Okay.
I don't know for sure yet, but after the game, if you want post-game discussion, I may be on Pot on Your Loons if the timing works out. So on Sunday, expect early Monday. If you're out there, check out the Pot on Your Loons podcast and then get me back in the fold, and then I can bring you back into the fold as well.
So, all right, yeah, let's cue the music. Let's
cue the music. Forgot. Music time.
So I was actually going to ask you if you were going to be on their show before the game. Pot on Your Loons.
They record on Mondays, apparently, so they've already done it.
Okay. And they probably didn't want to reach out because they knew we were probably still in pain.
Yeah.
You want to talk about soccer? No! Anyway, so we're going to overcome, as you said, El Presidente. And I do believe that. We should talk about who is injured right now and see who we have available for this match, and then talk about what Schmetzer should do.
Right. Well, Russ Knack's back.
He's back. Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
Because Christian is likely not, like, light training, but concussion protocol, so I won't expect a start out of him, if anything.
He had his concussion the day before the last game, is that right?
Well, the day before the last game, I was drinking.
Yeah, that's true. So, I don't know. My guess, timing-wise, he should be over the concussion before the game starts. And
depends on the concussion, but...
Yeah, but I mean, just normal concussions. He should be over it by the time the game starts. He should be cleared. And he is not a player, I think, that needs to practice all week in order to be match fit, because he can make up for it in fierceness, what he loses in fitness.
Yeah, physiologically that made no sense, but it completely made sense.
Mind over matter, man. It's like when you're running that Boston Marathon and you're feeling dead, but you still have 3 miles to go, and you find a way to do it even though your body's no longer functioning. Something I know very well.
Yeah, me too.
Watch people run it on TV. Okay. But yeah, I think we could see a mostly healthy team. I haven't heard anything about Josh.
I don't. That doesn't look good either.
Yeah, or, I don't. I'm not so worried. Jackson, that's the
deep, buddy Jackson.
Jackson. Yeah, how is he doing from since his injury? Have they announced anything on that?
No, our buddy Jackson.
Oh, Phelps Jackson
Phelps tweeted that out. Okay. That it doesn't look like he's going to make it this week, Josh.
Because Reagan, I think, took a knock too, but I don't think it was anything serious in the game before. But maybe I thought you were saying that was affecting him.
Yeah, no.
So, okay, Jackson Feltz, good on him. Yeah, I don't think I'm not worried about missing Atencio. Not because I don't think he's a good player, not because I don't think he can help us win, but because that is
Jordan Morris just assisted for the tie.
Oh, you are so far ahead of me. I just saw Mexico should have scored, but they didn't.
Yedlin with the to the crowd.
Yeah. So I'm watching Dest pass it to whoever our new number 10 is. And then, yeah, Jordan Morris onside.
And guess what? He doesn't use his left foot.
Wow.
I feel like he tried using his left foot for a year. And he just said, no, all of my passes and shots will be off of the outside of my right foot.
Yeah, do it the way that works. Why? He's never going to have a left foot. He's... At his age, you're not developing that.
At his age.
No, I mean, but soccer, right? When you're developing as a kid, I can't believe Mexico didn't score there. They had an amazing shot on goal. that should have been an easy goal, beat the keeper, and it went off the crossbar, like the bottom of the crossbar, and popped back out.
Seriously, though. Oh, okay, the guy got a touch on it, because I would have been like, that is the most pinpoint pass, and he still does it with the outside of it. It's still a phenomenal pass.
Look, yeah, he toe-punched it.
How about that?
Perfect.
How about that?
Ooh.
Catch me inside, because they're playing in Arizona in the Pimple Stadium. How about that?
Yeah, that's back to good Minnesota. Right go there with go Ferreira, USA. Beautiful goal.
Back to USA.
Yeah, I mean, I think Minnesota's
back to Minnesota.
Minnesota's a tough team, man. Like,
how are they doing this year?
You know, I think they're typical fourth, fifth. Let's take an actual look at it. But,
yeah.
But I mean, they're usually around fourth or fifth in the Western Conference, and right now they dropped to sixth, but they have a game in hand. So they could jump up to they could be up in fourth.
We could help them be fourth or fifth. Great.
Yeah. So big game for us. LAFC, of course, has a game in hand.
Doesn't matter who it is. This week is a big game after a loss.
Right. But if we win, and St. Louis ties or loses, we either become even with them or go ahead of them. Mm-hmm. LAFC has a game in hand though, so they easily could jump us.
Well, at this point, LAFC is always going to be number one in the power rankings. And the table really only matters in the last third of the season. And in terms of watching it, it is nice to know when you're near the top, being in first place for a week and coming down to second or third to watch it. But
I
want to focus on the field.
Right. But for me, it's points per game. It's points. It's all about points per game. I don't, you know, when there's not even matches, tell me the points per game and that's what I'll care about. So Portland and St. Louis had big boosts in the power rankings. LAFC is obviously number one. This is MLS's one. New England jumped to two. St. Louis jumped four spots to three. We dropped two spots to fourth.
I'm fine with it.
Brian Schmetzer said following the loss at 1-0, we have to have that killer instinct against a team that's beat us three games in a row, that's had our number at their place. Stick the knife in. Kill the game. I don't give a shit if it was the second goal or extended possession. Brian effing Schmetzer. That's the thing is...
He also came back on that today.
Yeah.
He also said, maybe I should... There could have been a better decision. Maybe we try to hold...
Right, but he's saying in that moment, our players need to be more dynamic.
I don't know.
We had plenty of chances to score a second goal before the sub.
Yeah.
There's plenty of times we could have put the game away and we didn't.
That happens every game.
Well, yeah, and that's why I think that second goal was so important. Because how often do we not get that goal that we need and it comes back to bite us in Sounders history? Too often.
And that's fair. I still...
Anyways,
we're going right back to Timbers. But I really do think that we were victims to our availability in that game. And we should have been a little more conservative. Especially after getting the goal.
The Loons had a 1-0 lead against Orlando, lost 2-1. They dropped four spots to 15th in the power rankings by the MLS. They have a new guy, Song Bin-jung, who's been playing really well with him. He's U22 DP, so one of the young ones, midfielder.
Did they get him this year? This off season?
Yeah, they just got him. He's played two games, 86 minutes. He's started one. He looked solid in his first start last week. One interception. His dual rate is a little under 50, 100% tackle rate. Only winning a quarter of his aerial duels, but he's 5'9". You're not expecting him to win those. But 84%.
5'9" is decent for a soccer player, at least.
Yeah, I suppose so. But you're not against a defender. You're not going to be able to get that.
That's fair.
But 84.2% success on pass rates overall, 100% success on long passes.
This is only two matches though, right?
Right. But
it's still two matches.
He had four open play crosses. Two of them were successful and he had two key passes. So pretty awesome start for him. Right off the bat.
Too. Like,
yeah. Getting into the game and actually being able to play. That's a new player we have to worry about beyond some of the other talented players that they have. He actually came over from, I'm trying to see here, because he's South Korean. He came up, they came over from Wolves in England.
Oh, wow.
So he had been in the Korean League and then went to Wolves, and then they loaned him out to the Grasshoppers, and then he went back to Wolves, and then they sold him to Minnesota. So a young player who has had a lot of hype. I mean, to be able to go play for Wolves is means you're pretty good player. I know they're a little down from where they might have been in the past, but they're still in the top tiers, we'll say.
They could be top Portland.
Top tiers of English. Oh yeah, they'd be Portland. so that's a big get for them. I mean, if he can do some things in the midfield that maybe they aren't seeing out of Reynoso, like they did in the past, since he's suspended right now.
Yeah. What happened with that?
I honestly don't know.
I forgot.
I just know that he's suspended. So.
Oh, I might be also confusing. I know something happened, but I might also be confusing it with the racist dude, New York.
Oh, yeah. Which is interesting, because I know from that, I'm a little follow-up, the manager, the head coach, and the player actually met with the supporter groups, and talked about how, like, the player was legitimately very upset about it. He didn't understand that he was hurting people, because this is what he said, in his country, the word he used, which I don't know what it was, and I'm not defending him. I'm saying this is what was said.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It wasn't the N-word. It was something else. That he didn't understand that because they use it in their country, in his country, in Belgium. So he didn't understand that it was a bad word. Honestly, I don't know why you wouldn't give that training to the player if you're a team, but...
And it's not like he's coming from a village in Belgium and this is 1912. Like, he's a professional athlete who has the internet available to him. You're not... That's bullshit.
Yeah, right now, so just didn't... Bullshit. He just didn't report to training camp. So...
Yeah, I'm reading that now.
Okay. But, I mean, they still have a great team. They still have players you need to watch out for. I mean, you can... Dane St. Clair is now locked in their starting goal position, which it's kind of a bummer because Tyler Miller was tearing it up. And then he got hurt and could never get the job back from Dane, which bummed me out because, you know, we all love Tyler Miller here, of course, as a one-time Sounder.
For sure.
And then they have Will Trapp in the defensive midfield. They have Hassani Dotson in their midfield. They have the other Arriaga, if you remember, on their team. They have Fragapane, who their left winger, who's a great player, but also he had the racist incident at Portland. I don't think he got suspended for anything for that either. So it'll be interesting. I mean, their big signing was Sungbin Jeong. So he'll have to have an impact, and obviously Hassani Dotson's great. Because, I mean, they've got 11 points on the season to our 16. And because I think I don't see them as an attacking threat. I still think it's favorable to us.
I like the Reynoso thing is still something it's like, man, the fact that they have wins without him just abruptly not being on the team.
Right. No, the best player mind,
by far, and they've been building around him.
Yeah.
So, and there's like literally no news about it. Everything is like, I can't get anything past February. Granted, I've been looking for 48 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
48 seconds. I don't know why I randomly said that.
But they have their plus minus is one. They've scored 9 goals and allowed 8. We've scored 16 goals and allowed 7. To me, that shows that we should be successful in this game. I just am worried that it will be.
We've allowed 7 goals, and 4 of them were last week.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. can't get over that game. Okay.
So
our defense is still playing well.
Yeah. I mean, we struggled this week, but, you know, it was under they're going to struggle. We needed someone else to pick it up. I'm still confident in the fact that we could pull this together and get a win. But also, I'm cognizant of the fact that we went to Cincinnati and struggled, mm-hmm. who are now in second place in the East. But yeah, I mean, but one thing, Minnesota is a great team, and Adrian Heath knows how to play against us. If we didn't score, did we score three goals or was it two goals? It was two goals in the last 15 minutes of that Western Conference final game. If we don't That's score right. those, they're in the final. But we mm-hmm. we turned it on somehow and bailed ourselves out of a game that was very painful for most of it. So yeah, I don't know. How are you thinking about it?
I don't even know anymore.
Right? Yeah, that's the thing. Everything's thrown off. I'm trying to be rational about it.
I feel and what you just said about how we came back to win that Western Conference final game. That is something that we see a lot of out of our team is, mm-hmm. you know, we're either down or tied late in a match. And I am confident that, you know, either we're going to draw it or win it, like that we might get a goal. It's the close match, the 1-0 exactly when this was, where we need to make that kind of decision. Seeing it this blatantly last week is what has me concerned about us as a club. We either need to get a couple goals before half or score immediately in the second half. We need to get up two goals early in the second half, I feel, for us to feel comfortable with our changes and at least be able to react when we make a mistake. Yeah. But to lose it as quickly as we did in this one, or not be chasing the game, we're talented enough that when we're all hungry and chasing, something actually can happen versus chasing backwards. Where we just seem to run with our pants at our ankles.
They're going to be hungry. Minnesota is going to be hungry.
We probably look injured to them, right?
It's like, well, not only that.
They might be a vulture.
They won their first game, tied their second, won their third, tied for their fourth, won their fifth, and they've lost the last two. They're not a team. Actually, the end of last year, they lost 6 of their last 7 games, or 8 games. But still, they're not a team that usually does that. And traditionally,
and their last memory of us, they is not a good one for them.
That was 2 years ago, wasn't it? Not last year.
I apologize. My memory of them.
but here's the thing: is they're not going to want to lose 3 straight. It's not common for them to do that at home. Which I mean, almost all those losses at the end of last year, besides one, was at home. I mean, on the road. Excuse me. If they score first at home, they don't traditionally lose games. If they score first, they don't traditionally lose games under Adrian Heath. In fact, there was one year that until the playoffs, they were like 18 and. Wins and 2 losses when they scored first until they lost to Portland in the playoffs that year. It was year before last. So all we got to do is have the Sounders score first. But it's
or
not
have Adrian Heath as our coach, apparently. Yeah. Get a goal and know how to win.
It's not going to be easy because they're going to be hungry after 2 straight losses that have dropped them from the top of the table down. I mean, their losses... We're to Chicago, who is doing better, but still near the bottom. And then Orlando, same. So they beat Dallas, who is in 4th place. They beat Colorado, who is – are they in 10th now? They were playing better. They started to move up, but I think Portland with the win may have jumped them. Yeah, they did. Colorado's in 11th behind Austin and Portland. And they actually beat St. Louis City, if you recall. So who knows?
They've always been a solid team, right? They didn't come in. I think their first year they were not very good.
Right. But after that,
they were just good.
Yeah, and their coach knows how to win. I mean, he is a very. I think people like him as a coach. They don't like some of his, I think there's his tactics on the field, some of his subs, some of the way he handles stuff. They don't like that. He's a very divisive coach. Half the fans love him, half the fans hate him. So it'll be interesting to say the least. What's your score prediction?
Leo, you better start and finish.
Well,
if you're going to keep experimenting,
has he finished a game this yet? I think he's subbed off every game, hasn't he?
That's I believe you're correct. You should look that up while I talk, because that's why I brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I second guess everything I say, especially in front of Mike on. but he needs to stay on the field and finish. And I have no idea what the lineup will be. Likely our same back line. Nuhu seems like he'll be fine. Reagan, Yamar, Alex. We'll have JP. Probably not a Tencio, but we'll probably have Rusnet. Nicholas Lodero. Christian ruled on his coin flip, but yeah, like you were saying, probably.
He'll be there if he clears
Leo Chu, protocol. But I think it'll be probably him coming off the bench if he clears it. And then Jordan. Oh, Jordan Morse is gone. We don't have Jordan because we just saw him get an assist.
And is there two games in this window? I assume, because there always is.
Yeah, I can only assume that.
Maybe he'll come back.
What a waste of a camp if it's one. It'll be Christian, Leo, and Raul. And I'm sorry, Hebert, like, welcome to the team. Great debut. One good goal, and another kind of both were poacher goals, but these aren't brilliant break through the defense. And he's just in the right place at the right time, talented striker.
And I think there was still goals. Good goal. It wasn't like, maybe I'm forgetting, but Raul's goal, the goal that he scored, not last game, but the game before, was just like, oh, it's there in front of me. I'm going to toe it in.
Yeah.
It still took skill.
Yes, I can't do it. What I'm saying is what you did in the first 2 weeks against what's now determined to be, in hindsight, two pretty bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean shove him back in there. And that was not a time to put him in, to harken back to what we've been complaining about with the Timbers game. But
no, I mean, he's not starting. But he's going to be coming off the bench to replace Rui Diaz if we're not scoring. Like, that's he's coming in.
That's what I was getting at. Don't bring him on for Leo Chu, who had 5 assists and a goal in 2 games.
No, if you're going to bring him on for anyone, you bring him on for one of our 2 center defensive mids. So Leo Chu has not finished a game. He played 78 minutes against Kansas City. Probably would have finished the game, but after 3 assists, they let him. Actually, he got the 4th. I don't know why they haven't updated that here. He only played 78 minutes, so they let him rest. And then he plays. Mm-hmm. He played 60, 61, and 69. So you could see him playing.
And he didn't look happy.
No,
I mean, no one looked. I mean, at that point, I was unhappy with the sub, but nothing had happened yet. So yeah, to see him come off not looking happy before we had given up a goal was we can't do that again. He's clearly, I think, proven to be 90 minutes. Give him a full 90 minutes. One of them. What's our scoreline? Shit. If he stays on, we score 2 goals, we give up 1. It's 2-1 win. If he gets subbed off, we're drawing. I don't think we'll lose this match. Knowing that Reynoso's not on their team.
Yeah.
And I also think, knowing how they play without him. Just with the stats he gave me in terms of they've had kind of an up and down, but kind of median season so far.
I mean, this started out great.
I don't think
3 wins and 2 draws is awesome, but it's the fact that they fell apart in the last 2 games. I just think we're not going to be able to overcome the fact that they've lost 2 in a row. I think they're going to push back on that. And I don't know. Right. I see them scoring first and winning 2-1.
If we lose, I've got some serious concerns with either coaching or, I mean, I guess it's early, right? But with either coaching or locker room, like, someone's got to wake us up after that game if you're not going to wake them up before that game last week.
Yeah.
You know, that can't happen. We haven't beat them last 3 matches, right? Portland?
Yeah, we lost 4 in a row to them now.
Last August, we lost to them. I was there. And then this one.
Yeah, we lost 4 in a row.
Which is not okay. So we cannot lose against the Loons.
My biggest problem is that Hunu is no longer on the team, so we can't have
Hunu. Because Nuhu still is?
Yeah, so we have Nuhu, but they no longer have Hunu. So we can't have Hunu versus Nuhu.
Which is, this is why you watch soccer.
For right.
That specific matchup.
But Hunu is back with in France at Angers, who is in the, are they in the French League 2? No, they're in League 1. They currently sit at 14th out of 20 teams in League 1.
Yeah. Bikers.
Probably wanted to go home to France, though, since he did grow up there and spent his entire youth career and adult career before coming to Minnesota in there. But yeah, that's a bummer. I would have loved to see Hunu and Nuhu together on the Sounders roster. It looks like he might go play for the Poland national team because his grandmother is Polish. So that's enough about him. Let's end on some good news. Give me some good news.
I got some good news. Shout out to our new Discord members while we've been recording. Rave Green Army and Tough Kid.
Right on. Discord. Greetings.
And they've been and the Discord's talking about the match that we just watched.
Mm-hmm. If this is your first time listening to an episode, it's not usually such a bummer. It's usually much more fun, but trust me, this was a really great episode considering what it could have been if we had recorded on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure, just to get it out of the way. But you got to sleep on it for a few nights.
Right. So, look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. Obviously, as always, I just worry about the fact of what Adrian Heath has been able to do to us in the past, especially when they had Robin Lud, however you said his name. So do they have the firepower they used to? No. Should we beat them? Yes. Can we put them in their place? I hope so. So let's get out there, see some Sounders win. And I won't be there, actually, because it's at the same time as the Kraken playoff game.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to the first ever home Kraken playoff game, as is pretty much anyone else who has tickets, which is everyone who knows how to put up the banner for Gorilla FC. So sadly, our banner will not be up this week because there's a whole process of stuff you have to do.
You can just give me the key to the stadium and I'll go for you.
But it gives me a good chance. If you're a Sounders season ticket holder, for 7 games in the season, you can return your tickets for full refund. They don't give you the money. They put it on your account and then you can use it for playoff tickets. So it would, or I think it probably rolls over. I'd have to look into that to be sure. So I was able to return all 3 tickets that I have on my account for this week. I returned 2 for the last game, if you recall, and went by myself because my dad had COVID and Richard couldn't come to the game. And so you get up to 7 games. Doesn't matter how many tickets you return per game. You get up to 7 games, we return ticket. I've now used 2.
Cool.
Great feature if you're a season ticket holder. Take advantage of it because oftentimes you can't get the money you would like to on the open market if there's tickets available. Mm-hmm. So you can just return them. It's a unique thing that I think we have the most forward-looking progressive return policy of any sports team.
I had never heard of that. That is pretty cool.
It's great. So on that note, where can they find you on the internet, Aaron?
On the internet, well, at home, you can find me hiding under my desk until Saturday night. On the internet, at AaronLingley. That's Aaron Lingley. Where can they find you?
You can get me at Legal Minded Punk. That's one word, Legal Minded Punk, on both Twitter and Instagram. And probably other places. I think on Letterboxd. Is that what it's called? The new, like...
I barely know what Instagram is, dude.
New film social media where you mark down movies you watch and you rate them and then you can share it with the other people what you... Yeah. It's a movie social media. Yeah, I'm a nerd. But I also am in the industry.
I guess we can find you there.
Yes. So... I don't have a lot more to say. Go Sounders. And I want to hear James' beautiful, beautiful voice.
Please take us away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.